Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
If you are a parent, even if you're not a parent, this is a conversation I hope you will stick around for. Joining me in just a moment will be Charlie Jacobs, and she is a mom in California fighting, and she's fought an incredible fight already and continues to fight. That is against her will and against her knowledge. Multiple schools, one being a public charter school and one being a private, actually Catholic school, behind her back was supporting and encouraging her 13-year-old daughter to identify as a boy, be called by a different name, and receive resources and truly coaxing her into this LGBTQ identity of transgenderism. So she has been sounding the alarm after she helped save her daughter from a transgender identity, and she wants you to know about it. So we're going to share her story as well as resources, because I'm hearing from you across the nation about how your kids, especially in the face of the lockdown and everything that happened over the last couple of years with online Zoom school and isolation, depression, anxiety levels off the charts, that your kids are struggling with mental health, and some of whom are turning toward this transgender craze that's seducing our daughters in particular. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're also processing everything that's happening in Ukraine. I want to speak to you about that in just a little bit. And also tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, it's time to go to Mass. I hope first and foremost to receive our Lord, but also to receive our ashes. Invite someone to go to Mass. People love, like non-Catholics love going to Mass 2 days a year. Usually that's Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday. It's because it's the day that you get stuff, is what I've learned. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But we're going to talk about why charity is so important, that we take charity with us on our journey this Lent, whatever sacrifices we may make. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now is Charlie Jacob. She's a mom of two teenage daughters in the state of California, and she has become a major advocate to help educate parents about how gender ideology can overtake your child as well. Charlie, welcome to Trending.
Thank you for having me.
Charlie, can you tell me a little bit about your family? And you're from California, right?
Not originally. Originally, okay. I'm from the East Coast. And I have a son and a daughter.
Wonderful. So you have two kids in high school. You're there in California, and you're actually protecting your identity so that, you know, the world doesn't know exactly who you are. Charlie Jacobs is a name to help her to preserve the privacy of her daughter as well as her family. Charlie, tell me a little bit about your family and how your daughter was groomed into this identity ideology that I imagine you never would have expected.
Yes. So my daughter went to a public school for her grade school. And in seventh grade, they have a class called Teen Talk. And in that class, they're taught all these different labels that they could identify as. And those labels run the gamut from things that you probably are aware of, like lesbian and gay, and then there's demi boy and polyamorous and pansexual and cis and all these labels. And I didn't think much of it at the time, but boy, was I naive. So she was taught that at her public grade school. And as time went on through COVID, she spent a lot of time online. And even though I was a pretty on top of it parent, checking her history and checking her phone pretty constantly, she's able to outwit me, as most kids can, because they're much more technologically advanced than we are. She had a couple different fake accounts, and in those accounts, she was being groomed by older kids and probably adults to adopt this trans identity. She started out with, I think, lesbian, moved to non-binary, and then landed on a transgender identity after she met a 16-year-old girl who was also identifying as transgender. She met
Wow, and
her
one of the
actually.
scary things, yeah, one of the scary things is that sometimes these aren't actual 16-year-old girls. I mean, they can be adults posing, they're predators at times. Can you share what social media networks she was on? Because I think a lot of parents assume certain networks are safe and they don't realize what can be happening.
Sure. She was on Instagram, which is certainly unsafe. I think most parents know that by now, that Instagram is, do not let your children go on Instagram. She was on Pinterest, and that one kind of threw
Yes.
me for a loop. I
Right.
do
I've
not
been
know
hearing a
the.
lot of that from parents.
Yeah, so they can
How?
direct message, and even Google Docs. So Google
Interesting.
Docs are live, and I didn't know this, but she was in contact with strangers on Google Docs. And so there's no way for a parent to track that.
Wow. And conversation is immediately deleted. You wouldn't realize it. And I know there's a lot with teachers and school administrators and club administrators at the schools privately emailing your daughter as well about this LGBTQ identity. So it makes parents second, I think, question not just social media, but various more forms of technology where a minor, a child, is using a technology and can communicate with people without their parents' knowledge, wouldn't you say?
That's true. And parents are almost looked at as abusive by trying to see what their children are doing online. It's very difficult to get the schools to let you know what's going on. And in fact, at my daughter's Catholic school, when she joined the Pride Student Union, I was not privy to any of the information that was being imparted to her as part of that club. I wasn't allowed to know who was in that club. And more so, I wasn't allowed to prevent my daughter from participating in that club.
Wow, I know that many schools, when they have these LGBTQ clubs, that the teachers facilitating them actually intentionally do not keep rosters of the kids in the clubs. That way, if a parent asks, "Hey, is my kid in this club?" or "Who else is in there?" They can try and cover their butts and not actually say who is in this club. So part of what's important about what you're saying, and it's a crisis that we've seen in general, that there are a lot of schools out there claiming to be Catholic that are not upholding what the Catholic Church teaches. So you started at a public charter school and then end up making your way to a Catholic school, a private Catholic school. What happened? How did you find out about your 13-year-old daughter identifying as the opposite sex? Where did this all begin?
Well, it started actually with her charter school. I got onto her computer and I noticed that the teachers were all calling her a male name and using male pronouns.
Wow.
So I called the school and I asked them what they were doing. And they said, for the safety of my child, that they will follow my child's lead and will call her a male name and male pronoun. Well, I lost my mind. As most parents would when they would discover this. And I probably wasn't too polite in my terminology to these administrators, especially since they had never even met my daughter. This is COVID. My daughter never stepped foot into the school, and somehow these teachers and administrators knew my daughter better than I did. CPS showed up, Child Protective Services showed up at my house a few days later. I don't know if it was because of the conversation I had with the administrators or because my daughter was searching up something that she shouldn't have been on the computer. And of course, the schools track the computer use. But needless to say, I'm not the only parent who went against a school calling their child by a different name and pronoun and had Child Protective Services show up at their house. We are considered child abusers for trying to protect our children.
And so this Go ahead.
Well, and so we left the school immediately. And what I found very, very interesting was that the school who thought my daughter was unsafe with me never called in and checked on her again.
Wow. Isn't it telling? This is what's frightening is across the nation, schools have been working, teachers, administrators have been working to drive a wedge between parents and their children, making it this idea that it's unsafe for a parent who has a vested interest in their child, spends more time with their child at home than anyone else, knows their child and their well-being better or should, that they're hiding things and reporting on parents without having, like you said, direct conversations or follow-up directly with the parents. Now, in your testimony that's been written on Daily Signal, among other places online, and we'll include a link in the podcast notes for today's show. Lucas, if you can also post that on my social media now, that would be great as well, because it's important that you hear and see this testimony. You talk about how your daughter was being coaxed into this identity. She was being sexually groomed. It was a part of her story, exposure to pornography in the grooming that these other kids and adults were doing?
Yes. Pornography was a huge part of it. Anime was another part of it also. What these, and I'm going to call them kids or groomers. Some of them are known to be adults because I actually reached out to them and catfished them myself and called them. But they send each other pornography, and it's, I even put a pornography blocker on, and you can't prevent the pornography from getting through YouTube, through most internet sites, because some of it is read to the kids, and they don't actually use curse words, so you can't filter it out. Mm-hmm. But there's the pornography is just unbelievable, going back and forth. You know, it's hard to even speak about it, because the older child who groomed my child actually sent her own personally made pornography to my child.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is Charlie Jacobs. She is a mother in California, Catholic mom, who has fought for her daughter after her daughter was sexually groomed online via social media programs such as Instagram, Pinterest, ushered into a transgender ideology by her both public charter school as well as, unfortunately, her local Catholic school, and even using everything from pornography to also other exposures. We're going to dive into some of the anime and other parts of this as well. So here you find out what's happening with your daughter. She's 13 years old. You remove her from the public school, take her to the Catholic school, and you immediately start seeking help of a therapist. Was the therapist helpful when you sought that help?
Oh, no, not at all. It's nearly impossible in the state of California, and becoming more and more impossible across our nation, to find what is called a non-affirming therapist or psychiatrist. Affirmation means that the mental health provider will affirm, that is, say it's true, the child's gender identity. So our therapist told us that we needed to call her by a male name, use the male pronouns, or she would commit suicide, which is a falsehood. But that's what parents are threatened with.
It's a crisis we're seeing, and even in the laws across the nation, it's making therapists afraid, therapists who believe and know the science that gender-affirming therapy is not healthy or good for teenagers or adults, therapists who know the difference between male and female, that they're afraid because of certain laws in states such as California. Now, a therapist, it's fascinating to get into this. We've had Michael Gasparo and other therapists working with people who experience same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria here on Trending, talking about both the legal side as well as the therapy resources. I just want to mention this resource while we're talking, because I know resources are few and far between, but there's Dr. Joseph Nicolosi at the Breakthrough Clinic. Also, Reintegrative Therapy. We'll include links in the podcast notes today's show. And John, if you could actually post that on social media, the Reintegrative Clinic, even Michael Gasparo, who's a regular guest here on Trending, he shares his story there and is a practicer of that, those various therapies as well that are helpful for addressing underlying issues, social isolation that's occurring with people who identify with gender dysphoria. Charlie Jacobs, can you share a little bit about how you handled the pronoun war? Initially, you discovered that your daughter was identifying as a boy when you realized that school administrators were referring to her by male pronouns and male name. So how did you handle this both with your daughter as well as when a Catholic school was referring to her as a male and by the male name she chose?
Well, because our therapist told us that she would commit suicide if we didn't use her male name and pronouns, and her mental health was declining rapidly. It's when these children come out as transgender, they're usually at the lowest mental health point in their lives, incorrigible, angry, suicidal, depressed, ruminating about this transgender nonsense. And so initially I called her by a male name and pronouns just to get over the hump, because the suicide risk at that time seemed real to me. And these were professionals that were telling me that I needed to do this. So I went ahead and did that as she started her Catholic school. We found a psychiatrist who helped me compassionately walk back using that name and pronouns with her. And I needed to do that very, very slowly and methodically, because the feeling that she was a male or a boy was so cemented at that time that I really needed to be careful and slow in walking that back, which we were able to do by the middle of her freshman year in high school. And actually, one of the religion teachers at the Catholic high school was helpful in that. He refused to ever use the male name or pronouns, which was really helpful in my walking back the initial mistake of following the therapist's recommendations.
Excellent. And this brings to mind a really important conversation that many people have. You know, they're in a job setting, they're in, you know, a social setting, and a familial setting, and they say, what do I do? Do I refer to this person according to their new chosen name and by their new pronouns? And I always say, no, don't refer to them by the pronouns. And perhaps in an adult setting, if you have to, maybe refer to them by whatever name they're choosing that doesn't change their sexuality, you know. But I think it's important that we're not telling a lie about other people. And I appreciate that you did have at least one of the Catholic school teachers there refusing to go along with this agenda ideology and this lie that people were encouraging your daughter to live out. Now, I know that you had a difficult time at the Catholic school there in California, both with the pronoun war, but also in general. Can you share with us a little bit about your experience with the principal as well as, unfortunately, the priest there at the school?
Yeah, let me move back, though, to what you just said, because it's really important for people to hear this. Social transition, that is using those wrong pronouns and those wrong names, is really a medical issue. It is cementing in these kids' heads a delusion. It is not without issues. I know that people think that they're being kind and that they're being loving by using these false names and pronouns. It's actually the opposite. And what it does is it acts as a social contagion for other children. So if other students see that teachers or parents or anybody in an authoritative position is using wrong sex pronouns, it makes it seem more real, and more kids will actually do this. So I did explain that to our Catholic school when we went back, when my daughter was starting her sophomore year. So for the last So we had been calling her female name and female pronouns by the time she started her sophomore year. And we told the school, please use the female name and the pronouns.
And principal, just sorry to interrupt you for just a moment. You had a summer break between, you know, the public charter school and the private school. Things were going well in the summer. Can you share with us a little bit some of your daughter's progress before returning to now the Catholic school?
Well, over the summer period, we worked tirelessly, sending her to various camps where she would be offline and unable to reach any of these nefarious websites. We sent her to visit family. We really kept her on the move all summer long, doing things related to her physical body and bringing her back to reality.
To be embodied.
And how effective was that? It was very effective. She started being comfortable in her natal sex. We took her phone away for a good 2-3 months, she had no internet contact whatsoever. And when she did any kind of Zoom school or was on her computer, I had to sit next to her to make sure that she wasn't going off into any of these websites. Because like I said, it's virtually impossible to block every one of these websites. You may think you've done it, but you really haven't, because these kids can outwit you every time. So when she started her sophomore year, she was in a mental place that I would say back to her normal self. She was loving. She was kind. She wasn't depressed anymore. She was able to get out of bed. She was exercising and eating normally. And as we started her sophomore year, we were feeling a big sense of relief. And then we got to the school and they refused to use her birth name and female pronouns.
At the Catholic school?
Correct.
So what happened as you started to approach the system there, the education system?
Well, I gave the school a book called Irreversible Damage by Abigail Shire.
Yes.
Which discusses this. I also printed out Pope Francis's male and female. He created them.
Excellent.
I gave them Minnesota's Catholic Bishop's Guiding Principles of Catholic Schools and Religious Education. I gave them the Arlington Bishop's Catechism of Human Person and Gender Ideology. I armed them with everything. I gave them a letter from our psychiatrist saying how detrimental it would be to use a male name and male pronouns. I offered to sign a hold harmless agreement if they thought my daughter was going to harm herself. All of this fell on deaf ears. The priest was there the entire time. He told us that my daughter needed the Pride Student Union Club, that she needed it. He brought up the suicidality stat of 41%, which is, again, untrue. And he told me that God would help me when I sat there in tears saying, why is my Catholic school not helping me in the fight against this gender ideology? What happened to this Catholic school? And then the final of the meeting was, we could leave the school.
Wow. That's Charlie Jacobs here on Trending with Tim Ray. She's sharing how she saved her daughter from a transgender identity after being ushered into the identity by a public school and then a private Catholic school. We're going to talk about how her daughter's doing, risks. Maybe you've experienced this with your own child. We'd like to hear from you. If you've gone through something similar to Charlie, please let us know. The number's 1-888-914-9149. We'd be glad to hear your story or take your question. Again, 1-888-914-9149. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity Healthshare. Join thousands who choose ethical and affordable healthcare. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Tomorrow's Ash Wednesday. I hope you will join us in our Lenten lessons on the Mass to go deeper this Lent. And we're going to talk about why the priest does what he does during Mass, the meaning behind so many of the movements. So I hope you'll join us. Brand new high definition videos. It's a perfect way to study the life, passion, resurrection of Jesus. The first Lenten lesson will be emailed to you tomorrow, Ash Wednesday. So sign up today for free to take your Lent to the next level. Sign up at relevantradio.com/Lent. That's relevantradio.com/Lent. Coming up, we're going to talk about how we're all processing what's happening with Ukraine. We'll process this together. We're also going to talk about why charity must come before any Lenten sacrifice we take on. I hope you'll join me on some of the Lenten challenges and ideas I gave you yesterday on the show. Subscribe at relevantradio.com/trending to catch that so that you can prepare for Lent this year, how to plan, prepare, discern, how to implement prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which are all three parts of what we're called to during Lent. Joining me now is Charlie Jacob. She's a mom of two teenagers in California. And she is fighting this transgender craze that is seducing our kids, especially our daughters across the nation. She specifically had her own daughter who started to identify as a boy at age 13, was ushered into this ideology and identity and was brainwashed at that time by social media engagement with people on Instagram, Pinterest, and other social media platforms, as well as by her public charter school and the private Catholic school that her parents thought would be a good solution. Unfortunately, and this is a reminder that we're not here to bash, of course, our Catholic faith or our priests, but sometimes, as we all have probably experienced, sometimes Catholics, including ourselves, will raise our hands, don't always preach or live what the Catholic Church teaches. And unfortunately, in this instance, Charlie Jacobs, the mom of this young girl, is with us now, and she's sharing about the experience she had at the Catholic school when she was seeking help to help save her daughter from this transgender identity. So, Charlie, you approached the school administrators and the priests. You were sharing that you didn't have a very positive experience right away. You know, they kind of deny things about everything from the LGBTQ club she's in. They refuse to refer to your daughter according to her given name and by her female pronouns that match her biological sex. You do everything from giving them notes and research from her psychologist, a highly well-known psychologist, that this is best for her. You even are willing to sign a waiver that they would not be held culpable of anything having to do with suicidality, because they tried to throw that argument at you. Yet, as you explained, you know, that suicidality, that scare tactic that people use, was also used by the priest there at the school. When you were hitting a wall here and nothing from the school administrators was working, what did you do next?
Well, I actually went into the bishop's luncheon that was being held locally, and I walked in uninvited with a letter about what was happening to me and my daughter at the local Catholic school. I never received a response. I handed it to him physically. I emailed his secretary multiple times. I called a bishop in a local diocese. I was sent back to the original bishop. I called the Department of Catholic Schools multiple times. I emailed them. I was ignored at every pass.
Charlie, I'm so sorry to hear this. I'm sorry. I have known firsthand other parents who have been through similar circumstances who are fighting for their kids in the Catholic schools. And when ideologies that are not Catholic, that do not uphold what the Catholic Church teaches, at times, they hit a dead wall. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. I'm sorry that you experienced that. And I am grateful that you're sharing the truth of what happened in the fight for your child. And again, I'm just so sorry that you experienced that. We have to pray for people to not be afraid of the crisis we are facing as a nation when it comes to this gender ideology that is an absolute brainwashing of children and is hurting them. So again, I'm so sorry that you experienced this. We want to emphasize here, and this is why I'm having you on today, the church teaches that we are made male and female. And the church teaches that no school, and actually, as you mentioned before, Charlie, there have been multiple documents released from the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith to the educating teaching bodies of the Vatican, from the Pope himself, and bishops across the nation who have commented specifically that gender identity, gender dysphoria should not be taught or encouraged in our schools or to anyone. And so this is a contradiction of what the church teaches. And I'm sorry, at times it's just a fearful silence because people are afraid to go against the agenda of the mob media today. Can you share a little bit more about your Catholic school experience? You didn't receive help from the administrators. You reached out to teachers. You tried to stay in contact regularly with them. I know you had one religion teacher who was helpful, but another one not so helpful. What was your experience with that religion teacher?
So I was lucky. A couple months into my daughter's sophomore year, she announced that she is a girl again. And
Praise
she,
God.
yes, but I mean, I still sleep with one eye open because there's so
Yeah,
much
you're a good
pressure out
mom.
there.
Yeah.
There's just, and she's still really young. But so she announced that she was a girl again, and she emailed all of her teachers saying that she wanted to go by her female name and female pronouns. And one teacher refused to do it, and that was her religion teacher. I was,
Wow.
yeah, that's what I said. And I knew that my daughter had sent the emails because I checked my daughter's computer regularly. She had sent her at least two. I know that she had a couple conversations with her. And then the religion teacher, when she would give any kind of feedback on my daughter's grades, would make sure she used a male name so that I would see it. It was sort of an in your face, I'm not going to listen to you, parent. I'm going to do as I please and treat your daughter as your son. She also then, when my daughter pushed back a couple more times, decided to call my daughter by her last name, which is just so rude. So I went, of course, back to the school, and I had all the email evidence that my daughter had asked this teacher multiple times to call her by her female name. And, the school is always pretty close to the vest. I pulled my daughter from that religion class. That same religion teacher also had a project for my son, who goes to the same school, that was an intersectionality project. That project, the students discuss their sexual orientation, gender, socioeconomic status, race, and body image. And I just went back to see the principal again, and I said, "Why is this Catholic school interested in a young man's sexual orientation or his gender thoughts?" And I was met with, of course, silence. But this is the religion teacher in a prominent Catholic school, somehow thinking that gender and sexual orientation is something that should be discussed in a Catholic school. I don't quite understand it. I don't know why this school went so astray.
Charlotte, I'm so grateful that you are a parent who is fighting, a parent who knows what is going on with your child. And it's a reminder that we can't just trust, whether it's a public school, whether it's a private school, whether it's a Catholic person or a Catholic educator or a non-Catholic educator, we have to hold people accountable and know what's going on with our kids. There's a revolution happening across the nation right now. And Charlie Jacobs, you are a part of that revolution fighting for your kids. And when you mention Catholic schools, you know, a lot of people are probably asking right now, I mean, people are calling Ted from Tucson, Arizona, and others. This is disturbing to hear what is going on. And you ask the question, well, where do I send my kids? I think first and foremost, we have to remember that parents, the church teaches, are the primary educators of their children. That means we as parents are responsible for what our children learn, whether it's from us or from others, for vetting it and helping to hold their hand and keeping them accountable and others accountable so that they can learn to know what is good, what is true, what is beautiful, and that they're created in God's image and likeness and made for heaven. And that's why I do think it's so important when we're vetting schools, especially our Catholic schools, that we really are vetting them, you know, knowing things such as resources, such as the Newman Society, the Newman Guide, for lists of schools who hold to what the church is actually teaching. You can check out newmansociety.org/Newman Guide. We're including a link. I will post that on social media now, as well as in the podcast notes for today's show, because this is a resource that people need to know and have when searching for schools. And that the lists are growing to help find high schools, but especially colleges, if you're looking for colleges as well. But those are just some resources, because there are some Catholic schools, but I will say, you know, I do become afraid because so many of us are so susceptible today to the ways of the world, and we're afraid of the ideologies and identity politics and the brainwashing that's happening today. Charlie, can you share with us, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timber, that's Charlie Jacobs, who saved her daughter from a transgender identity. Charlie, can you share with us how your daughter is doing now?
Thank you. She's doing really well. Like I said, mentally, she's over her depression. She's comfortable being a female. She wears female clothes. She goes by a female name. She seems to be thriving. But like I said, she's still young. And everything out there, from TV shows to movies to covers of magazines, is pushing this transgender agenda. You can't avoid it. It's everywhere. And so every day is a constant fight to keep my child safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why we talk about resources here on Trending, such as screenstrong.com. We have the author of Glow Kids joining us regularly, Dr. Nicholas, to help you, Dr. Nicholas Carderis, to help you understand resources to help protect your kids from social media, from the social contagion that they are surrounded by, because they are being brainwashed. They are being influenced by influencers, unfortunately. And these influencers and even educators are trying to separate your child from you, from the God-given identity that God, the Creator, gave your child. So I'm so happy, Charlie, to hear that your daughter is doing better. Let's talk a little bit about resources for other people who maybe you find your child is going through something similar, or you know someone who is. We want to get to those resources. But I do have a question. The question I imagine many people are also asking, why didn't you remove your daughter from that Catholic school?
That's a great question. There are no schools in my area within probably 50 miles to educate a child that isn't captured by gender ideology. We did look to moving out of state. I would have to move out with my daughter, and my husband and son would stay here. But that's disrupting a family, and that's still on the table. But those were my only choices. All the public schools are captured. All the Catholic schools and Christian schools in my area are captured, and some even worse than the Catholic school I'm telling you about. I mean, I'm in the belly of the beast in California.
Yes. Yep. It is so hard, Charlie. You're fighting, and I know people who are fleeing to various states. I mean, we just had who is it, Dr. Leonard Saxon, who is a huge advocate and fighter for male and female identity, the God-given purpose and identity of the human person. He is a family physician as well as a psychologist, and he tells the truth about male and femaleness. And he himself just moved his own family out of state so that there could be a better school, a better support system for his own teenage daughter. And this is what people are having to do right now. Charlie, in the couple minutes we have to a parent who is saying, you know, not my kid, or maybe they're going through something similar. Who is susceptible to this, and what red flag should people look for?
Well, children that are susceptible to this, or any child who is not probably in the cool crowd. So these kids are they're picked out. So the kid who's a little bit shy, so the kid who's a little bit weird, they are a target for these LGBTQ clubs. Kids who are on the autism spectrum seem to be a large percentage of kids who get caught up in this. Mess, children with OCD is another large group of kids that get caught up in the gender ideology. I would say keep your kids away from anime. It looks like it's a regular cartoon. They're not. It goes really deeply into gender bending themes really early on, and it's like a beacon for pedophiles to find these kids. Yeah, I think, you know, most of us parents here, we look at this and we say, like, how is this even possible in our families? Most of us are very, very normal, typical family. So there is no one safe from this until we destroy this, and we have to destroy this. And that requires some activism. It requires people to stand up. And I know that some people are reacted to the Daily Signal article and were angry that I haven't exposed the name of my school, but I can't at this moment, but I will. I will.
Thank you for doing what you're doing, Charlie. I understand what you're doing. I imagine, you know, that may mean that you're fighting on multiple fronts, both exposing what happened to your child, trying to help other parents, but as well as, I hope, fighting legal battles behind the scenes to keep these schools, these educators responsible, because we are seeing teenagers today falling into depression, anxiety, and yes, suicidality because of false identities that they are being coaxed into and brainwashed into because of some political agenda. We're going to come back briefly with Charlie to share some resources that she would recommend for parents in similar experiences with a child who's struggling with gender dysphoria, gender identity, identifying as the opposite sex. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Are you tired of educational options that are one size fits all? Our sponsor, Colby Academy, offers the flexibility of both accredited online and traditional school-at-home options to fit the needs of your child. Visit relevantradio.com/Colby.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The story broke over the last couple of months. A mom who's fighting for her child, whose child came out as transgender, the private school and then, or the public school and then the private Catholic school actually helped to hide the child's identity, chosen pronouns, weren't even calling the child by the correct name. And she had to fight and fight to find the resources to help save her daughter. Her daughter's doing much better now. But this is a crisis we are seeing across the nation. Many school systems, many educators, not all, but many do not have the best interests of the child or the parents' wishes in mind. We are seeing a revolution across this nation of parents who are waking up and fighting. And Charlie Jacobs is one of those parents. She's with us now. She's been sharing the story of her experience with the schools and her child. And we're talking about how your daughter is doing it much better now. And we're discussing how any child is susceptible acceptable today. I have been talking to parents almost every single day across this nation who even good Catholic families, you know, families who, you know, grew up with Catholicism, parents on both ends of the political spectrum, as well as various religions, where their kids are coming out as transgender out of nowhere with no predisposition and not necessarily with any type of past of sexual abuse. And it's been in a growing trend during COVID with this social isolation that has occurred with the grooming via social media such as Instagram and Pinterest. And Charlie, let's talk about who we're discussing, who is susceptible and red flags to look for. How should a parent look for red flags that their child might be at risk?
Well, I think the parents really need to be looking at every social media that the child is on and looking at the history on YouTube, because YouTube is also a big purveyor of the trans identity. Any child who is spending too much time alone is also susceptible. A child who starts feeling depressed and not doing the normal things that the child like sports or music, and starts to become more quiet, I would really start looking at what they're doing and have these conversations with them, and making sure that these kids understand that they're perfect just the way they are. Because this whole dialogue about transgenderism means that a child was born in the wrong body, which is just an impossibility. And from my vantage point, it's child abuse to tell a child that they were born wrong. They were born the way they were born, and they need to be able to celebrate the body that they have and that they were given, and learn to know its strengths. There's nothing wrong with anybody's body out there.
Amen. And if you want resources, we're going to walk through some of those, and we'll include a link in the podcast notes for today's show as well. But we have Martha calling in Los Angeles about an experience she's had with her daughter. She has a question I hope that we can answer here on Trending. Martha, welcome to Trending. What's your question for Charlie today?
My question is, I have a 13-year-old granddaughter. The mom doesn't live with them. Okay. That last year she trying to throw something in the school site, you know, that computer, that she wanted to keep herself. They took it away from us for a month. And since then, she's not been the same. Everything is so different. And after that, you know, she say that she likes girls instead of boys.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear this, Martha.
Just lately, just she ran away from the house again, just like, I don't know.
Oh, Martha,
how
I'm so
can we
sorry.
Help her?
Yeah. Okay, Martha, just to confirm, so Martha is calling from Los Angeles. She has a 13-year-old granddaughter who is struggling with suicidality, as well as now likes girls. She was taken away from her grandmother for a time, whom she lives with, and she tried to run away from them. Charlie, what resources and recommendations would you have for Martha, given that you've been where she's been?
Well, Martha, first of all, I want to say that I'm really sorry and that there is hope. My daughter ran away multiple times. She was told on the internet how to do it. She was told to try to emancipate, and this is at the age of 13. So you're not alone in this, but there is hope. But there are a lot of resources out there that can help. There's Advocates Protecting Children. There's Partners for Ethical Care. There's the CardinalsSupportNetwork.com. There's a lot of books that I found really helpful. Like I said before, Irreversible Damage tells the story of how we got here. Yes. And why so many girls are thinking that they're boys. And then to get the language to speak to the child, I would recommend Desist, Detrans, and Detox by Maria Keffler. It gives the language, how to have conversations with your child. I found that one really helpful. And then there's GenSpec, which can help parents navigate some of the legality and finding therapists. And there's a lot of parent support group, because it sounds like the caller needs a lot of support on how to handle her grandchild. It's very difficult and it's very isolating, and everyone blames the parent no matter what you're doing. The teachers blame you for doing this to your child or for not calling your child by a different name. The therapists aren't helpful. You're kind of alone. So you really need to find a support group. And there's a group called Parents of Rapid Onset Gender Dysphoria. Grandparents are welcome to join that too. They are nationwide, but they have local branches. And you can meet other parents and kind of, you know, come up with solutions and what works and what doesn't work, and just cry to each other.
Charlie, thank you for those resources. Martha, know that we are praying for you. We are praying for your granddaughter. We are going to include a whole list of all of the resources mentioned during today's show in the podcast available later tonight, relevantradio.com/trending, or wherever you catch your podcast. Please subscribe. Keep these resources as a resource for other parents who are battling this with everything that's happened with COVID and social isolation, online school, depression, anxiety. All of this has become more prominent for kids. The book by Abigail Schreer that we've mentioned regularly here on Trending, having to do with this transgender craze that's seducing our daughters, is so important for parents to read. I have a friend in middle America at a public school where, you know, some people think, oh, maybe it's not an issue here. It's not California. It's not another one of the other states. But when she read that book, I told her about it. She said, this is what I've been seeing for the last 4 or 5 years in my classroom. No one's talking about it. I didn't know what was happening. And so these are resources that we need to have on hand. And Martha, I also want to recommend Dr. Joseph Nicolosi at the Breakthrough Clinic. Patrick will help to get that resource to you if you stay on the line. TheBreakthroughClinic.com will include a link in the podcast notes. Breakthrough Clinic is an excellent resource for anyone who sees their child or themselves struggling with gender dysphoria. That's been Charlie Jacobs. Thank you for being a mom and for fighting, Charlie. And we hope that you will continue the fight. It's Ash Wednesday. Are you still trying to figure out what you're giving up or doing for Lent? This is Timmery from Trending with Timmery. Father Tim Grumbach will join me. We'll talk about why Ash Wednesday, why so many people go to church on Ash Wednesday, how to have an effective, faith-filled Lent to grow this Lent. We'll extend ideas for what you can do this Lent and more. So join me Ash Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.